Alright, another exciting day. I didn't want to leave Lisa. I love Lisa, guys, just in case you're wondering about how I felt about Lisa Nemerol. I love her with all my heart. There's not much else to say. Let's see. I'm a little worried about... I kind of like hanging this thing out, but it's not... There we go. I think that'll work a little better. There. Okay. A little better sound quality, I hope. I'm eating popcorn a little bit, so everything's going to be just suboptimal. So I'll hopefully be able to upload a lot of these recordings. I did the shortest recording I did. My dad said, you need to put still more stuff up and give it to us. So, Dad got nailed by what we were reading. And, The Rational Bible by from Dennis Prager, which happened to be all about circumcision. Now this is relevant because of my Jewish background. I am circumcised. All my sons are circumcised. My grandson is circumcised. I didn't know if that was going to happen. I didn't talk about it with Joshua at all. Most of the Mexicans I knew when I was young were not circumcised. I didn't know if that was a thing. You know, you don't really talk about... Jews talk about circumcision. Nobody else does. And I figured everybody in the world had a penis that looked like mine. And I found out when I was... I was in middle school, Shallow Water, Texas. First time I was really in a situation with a lot of other guys that they did not have a penis like I had. I don't remember a lot of discussion about it. I don't remember a lot of teasing about it. I just remembered seeing some of the football players that were first string. I was like third string. I was down the bottom of it. That their penis didn't look like mine. I didn't have words for it back then. I do now. Anyway, so my dad, for all of his thing about, well, we want to know what's going on. You need to do more of those recordings. Love those recordings. So I was like, okay. I turned on the recorder, and we were just finishing up Abraham having to circumcise his whole household, including himself. And, wow. So I asked the question. I said, well, I'm circumcised, so I don't know if my brother is. And the big question, you know, is my father circumcised? Was my grandfather? Was Dick Nemro circumcised? how did this go? Anyway, no sense talking about that here. You can listen to the recording on archive.org. Woohoo! I only really publicize it to the family. So I don't expect a lot of hits on it. We'll see what happens. I had something I want to talk about here. But now that I got through all that to kind of get everybody up to speed on stuff, I do not remember the original thought of doing this. It's been raining like crazy in this part of the country. Sam got his mission call. He's staying home on a service mission. So, he's excited about that, getting things pulled together. He's getting ready to go through the temple to go and get his endowment. So, things are moving in that circumstance. I'm trying to think of what I must have been thinking about that I wanted to say something about, but it's gone. Listening to This Week in Mormons. I don't know how to feel about the podcast. I feel like it's a lot of virtuous signaling that people feel like that the church has become very, very welcoming of everybody. Not that the doctrine has changed, which I think is screwing around with people. Say we welcome people at church, everybody supposes that we've become far more liberal about commandments of the gospel. And of course, the doctrine has not changed. That's something that the Lord would have to do. And that doesn't seem very compatible with the Lord. So, the church gets a lot of flack for I think the perception that it's duplicitous. Everybody's welcome at our meetings. But yet, you know, women who are transitioning into men cannot hold the priesthood, of course. Openly practicing gay people, gay couples, gay marriage is just as antithetical to the doctrine as it ever has, ever was. And yet, we're trying desperately to show everybody how inclusive we are. It's like, you know, we're not fooling anybody. If anything, we're making such groups more upset. By saying that we're welcoming of these kinds of people in our meetings, but yeah, you know, unless you live up to the same standards that we've had for forever, you can visit, but you can't join. You can participate on a certain level, but not fully. And I do. This is I don't think trying to make it sound like we're really accommodating, when that's not what anybody means, except for, oh yeah, I mean, there's a sign out front that says visitors welcome. And everybody's like, oh, you know, well, that's just silly. You know, your doctrine hasn't changed. You're not more inclusive. Even when members of the church work really hard to try to change their talk and Latter-day Saints think they've made such huge accommodations. You know, we used to run you guys out of town on a rail, now we don't. Now some of the black stuff is coming back, you know. You guys wouldn't let us hold the priesthood. You guys wouldn't let us be full members of the church until 1978. Oh, yeah. They go, well, I'm sorry. I can't live with that. And it's like, okay. Trying hard to get people, black people, who got past the 1978 proclamation. And can I be honest? I don't perceive it really working particularly well under the current circumstances. Current circumstances could change, but I wouldn't bank on it. You know, so I guess what really ends up happening is, yeah, we look kind of duplicitous to the real movers and shakers, the social activists, stuff like that. We seem incredibly insincere and almost talking out both sides of our mouth. I understand why that feeling's there. I'm not in a leadership position in the church, so, you know, the way it's portrayed by the brethren, the way it's portrayed by influencers on social media, you know, that's what you're going to get. I think I understand the feeling that's there. That they feel like they're being, you know, that LGBTQ people are being kind of, you know, feel like it's just a bunch of lip service, that it's not sincere. To which I only have to say, guys, the doctrine did not change. The basic doctrine still continues exactly as it did. What was considered sin in the past is still a sin. Women are not getting the priesthood. You know, they're not being ordained to offices in the priesthood. And now that one's a little different because really are trying to make sure that women feel like they are wield power in the church, both at a local level and at a stake level and a general level. I don't think that's insincere, but for the women or the people who were really saying, but how come there can't be female elders? How come there can't be female high priests? How come a woman can't be a bishop or a stake president? Which is really what those women are pushing for. It ain't happening. At least not yet. I don't know how the Lord feels about getting accused of changing doctrine because of political pressure. I think we've seen from the whole circumstances of blacks getting the priesthood that to some extent encouraged a lot of different groups that felt that they were disenfranchised to start pushing hard on the church. And, you know, it's a different thing. And if you think it was politically motivated, I don't know. Maybe a little, but I don't perceive the Lord bowing to political pressure. It just happened to coincide a little bit. Always thought it was much more that the church was going into places where there were large black populations, and the fact that they couldn't have the priesthood was becoming a serious detriment to progress of the church. Places like Brazil, the Caribbean, Africa, where it wasn't going to be, it really wasn't going to work very well to constantly be bringing in pale faces to basically do all of the work. And that the only place that blacks could be is in the pews, you know, singing hymns. Anyway. So yeah, this is, do I understand why groups are upset? Yes. You know, am I sympathetic? No, I'm not. You know, a man lying with a man is a sin. The act of changing your gender from one to another just is incompatible with a belief in the pre-existence, in the pre-earth life, before you came to birth, and the fact that it kind of bears the whole thing, that God shoved you in the wrong body or something. And, you know, just, sorry, not compatible. And the church and a lot of church members, I'm not one of them, are trying to use the politically correct terms and I'm sorry, and, you know, when these guys come back and says, well, you know, you're saying things that give us the impression that you're listening to us as LGBT, sorry, I am not an LGBT person, you know, that you're coming our way, but you're not. And you're going, you're absolutely right, we're not. My larger thought on this is that the church is simply trying to survive in these times. And to survive right now, you've got to pay at least lip service to this stuff. I mean, if the LGBTQ community, plus plus whatever, I'm sorry, I'm just not with it, I'm not going to get with it, okay? Just not going to do it. And I've got a daughter that takes testosterone, is growing a little bit of a beard, and has changed her name to be a guy's name. And I'm not with it. I'm not there. and I'm not, I have no intention of going there. So yes, do I use the terms? I still at times in my writing still use the terms deviant, deviance, and say that this stuff deviates from the will of God. And you can tell me all day long that I'm a bigoted jerk and a homophobe and all that stuff, and you go, you know what? You can say that to me all day long, and it's not going to have the effect you hoped for, at least to get me to shut up or stop. I'm not, you know, I don't do it. I decided a while back that I wasn't going to let slurs shut me up particularly. I'm writing a dangerous line there. I just don't tend to write much about this anymore, because I've pretty much written what I've written, and I just let it stand. You know, people go, well, you better change that. And you go, no, I'm not going to change it particularly. Well, we're going to castigate you. And you go, you know what? Castigate away. Just, you know, if you want to do the cancel crap on me, feel free. You know, if it gets down to it and they figure out a way to how to separate me from a job, which should probably be pretty danged easy. I work at a university. Universities are so frightened of these groups. That they just cave. You know, and that's the university's business. And I say, well, we're going to get you fired. And you go, you know what? You can do it. I can almost guarantee that it's doable. He says, but you know what? I can get fired from here. I'll go get a job someplace else working for some contractor. And in about 4 or 5 years, or when I turn 60, I can just collect my pension. So at this point, if they want me to get, you know, if they want to try to destroy my life, they can give it a good shot. And you know, they might very well be able to say, oh well, people who talk like that shouldn't be allowed to have pensions. And I think I can sue on that, because that's just hateful right there, is to say that somebody worked and kept the, you know, and worked and put aside and did all the things that were required to get a pension, and then all of a sudden they find a way to make it so that you don't get a pension. I hope the state would buckle to that, but it's getting to be that way. And, you know, wouldn't be the first time I've been smacked in the head and slided. And if that's what it takes to say, wow, these people are evil, they will destroy people over a word or a phrase or any number of things. And you're going, wow. And you're going, I'm sorry. Anybody who says, oh, these are just nice people, we treat them really wonderful, they're wonderful members of our society, I'll be the first one to say, no, they're not. This is, you know, they're destroying people. They're destroying people, patting themselves on the back, and still playing the victim card. And they go, nobody's done anything to destroy your life. You're destroying other people's lives. You're hideous. You're a hideous person. And you go, so guess what? Sorry. No. You don't get the whole, oh, we've got to treat them so nice. And you go, only because if you don't treat them nice, they're going to destroy you. And you go, those aren't nice people. That's not a nice person. I don't do anything, you know. I don't do anything to LGBTP whatever people to take away their employment, to make sure they can't get housing, food, whatever. I don't do a dang thing. They have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of their own personal version of happiness. And I don't do anything about it, and I don't know very many other people that do anything about that either, particularly. Yeah, it could happen, but I'd have to say that the vast majority of this stuff is pumped up and radicalized. And nobody is treating them badly. In fact, if nothing, people are treating them to a much lower standard for fear of what could happen if, let's say, an LGBTQ person was doing a really poor job at work. I would have to say that it really wouldn't matter. They could basically slide, and they would keep their job, and they would get regular raises, all because nobody wants to get accused of being discriminatory. And that's something of a problem. You know, our system here works on a meritocracy. And when you start flinging around, oh, I'm being discriminated against because of this or that, the meritocracy falls apart and it gets to be identity stuff. It was a known fact that at Eastern New Mexico University, in most departments, if a woman went for a job, even if she was not terribly qualified for it, she would get the job over, say, for instance, a man who was better qualified for it. Because they wanted the appearance, and they wanted to be able to show that there was a good proportion of men to women. Our IT department was suffering for the perception that we weren't hiring women to a sufficient degree. Which I think is kind of funny, given the fact that, oh, we weren't getting applicants. We weren't getting female applicants. And there had been a number of women. One of our managers was a woman. And, you know, one of the line people was a woman. In a group of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 6 or 7, two of them were women. Now there's zero. And it was just that, I'm sorry. Lately it just was that there was no female applicants. I think I almost got in trouble for not hiring a black guy who applied. But he had a terrible resume. It was all duplicated. It was like, what? This guy didn't even take the effort to have to even make a decent resume. And he gave no indication that he knew what he was doing. there is a certain amount of, well, I'll go on Google and I'll look it up, and you go, that's fine, we all do that. It says, but we kind of want people who also have some demonstrated experience, you know, and that when we ask you questions about your experience, we get some answers that make us feel better. And I just didn't get that vibe from this fella. I want to go for the other guy. Why? Because he's proven. We had a black Filipino on staff. Great guy. Will Lampkin, smarter than a whip, man. He was smarter than I was. And when I left my job at Eastern, he got it. And I think that's great. And I'm sure things are going better now, because he was a go-getter. He was a guy that got stuff done. And I was really grateful. It was heartening to hear that he got it. And it wasn't based on race or anything. It was based on merit. He was a guy that put out the stuff, man. His dad was black, his mom was Filipino. And, you know, people say, well, you know, you guys act like you're kind of racist. And you go, what? You have a problem with Will? Is he not multicultural enough for you? It says that, and I'm sorry, he's good. It says that was what got him where he was, I think. Well, you know, you just never know anymore. But the great part was, he's good. Couldn't care less about his skin color. Couldn't care less about his ethnic background. Who cared? He was the man. He did the job. He was respected. Bang! He was more respected than I was. Which is fine. I think he deserved it. So yeah, so when people say I'm a bigot, I'm a homophobe, it's like, you know what? You can say whatever you like, you know, whatever. You know, you can look back on my record and how I felt about people and things. And I'm not going to sit there and say, well, look, I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I said, you know what? No, I'm just not going to sit here. I'm not going to fight that battle. I don't care anymore. It says, if that's what it's all going to be about, is trying to prove that you're not some kind of bigot. It's like, you know what? I'm just not interested anymore. If you guys want to think I'm a bigot, fine. You don't know me particularly. I don't know you. I don't know what you've been handed. I don't think I've ever called anybody a bigot, because I'm not sure I've really run into a person that I thought was a bigot. So yeah, when it comes to things like church and stuff like that, and when people say, well, you and you and this and that and you people and stuff like that, it's just, you point up to the sky and you go, talk to the boss, talk to the Lord, talk to the fellow that said that described Gentiles as dogs. They were eating the scraps that fell off the plate of the covenant people. You know, and you know, there's plenty of people who say, I don't follow Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was a stinking bigot. And you go, to a certain extent, I think there's good evidence of that. And what was written, you know, and you can say, well, that was the times, that's the way it was. And you go, fine. He says, yeah, but I'm not going to sit here and apologize for him. He says, he can. He can run his church. He can run his gospel as he pleases. That he only appears to the Jews, and at no time has he dealt with a Gentile. I don't know how to interpret scriptures that say that. I don't know if I can behave that way and feel justified. I have no idea. But I'm not going to quibble. I don't think the brethren of the church, I don't think the first presidency and the quorum of the 12 quibble particularly. Although, can I be honest? Their basic role is as diplomats for the Lord. So they are going to conduct themselves in a somewhat diplomatic fashion. I am not a diplomat for the Lord. I'm a quasi-autistic fella. And that means most things are kind of black and white to me. I'm not much of a connoisseur of a gray area. What's going to happen to transgendered people? Boy, you got me there. I have no idea. I'm not saying these things didn't exist in Christ's time, but it must have been so minuscule, it did not register on the screen of the primitive church that we have a record of in the New Testament. I'm sorry, it's just not there, as far as I can tell. Now, I'm not saying I'm some great scholar and I've read deeply, deeply, deeply. I'm sure people say, it's right here, it's right here, it's right here, you're stupid. You go, hey, you know, I'm not saying I was some amazing guy. I just don't think there's much there to pull from. But I think it goes beyond people say, well, you know, how do you feel about gays? And then you try to transfer that to transgender, and I go, you know what? I don't think there's much in common there. I don't care if you say, oh, well, it's part of the community. And you go, I think you guys are making up stories about it being a community. But it really isn't. That gays and transgenders hang out with each other. And live next door to each other, whether literally or figuratively, that the only thing that does that is right now they are political bedmates. And that is it, I think. I get no impression that they're anything beyond that. They don't hang out together. They don't party together. This whole thing about it being a community is strictly a political machination, from what I've seen, which is not all that amazing, you know. Anyway, so yeah. And so it's kind of weird. Don't really know where to put the whole issue. Like, BYU has now an office of belonging. I don't know what that means. I'm not really interested in finding out particularly. I think that practically tripping over yourself to try to accommodate all these different deviant people is, of course, going to backfire spectacularly. And it will end up being something of a mistake. That's probably saying too much. I wouldn't say a mistake, but it certainly is not going to provide the intended result, which is people will start saying, "Oh, the Latter-day Saints are so wonderful to us," and this and that. So that's not going to happen. Satan doesn't tolerate that kind of stuff. It's much too much fun for Satan to sling mud balls at the church than to attempt to, you know, than to tolerate too many people with any influence at all saying positive things about the LDS Church. It's just not that tolerated among the precincts of Satan. And you can say, "Oh, is that gay people? Is that transgender?" And you go, not necessarily. But if people are taking all the opportunities they can find to try and besmirch the church, they're not going to start saying something nice particularly about the church if they're in the business of not saying nice things about the church. This isn't going to sway those guys, as far as I'm aware of. And like I said, it's mostly going to be looked at as, yeah, duplicitous. Just trying to make things kind of look pretty without any real interest in being honest about that. I gotta go to the bathroom, guys, so I'm gonna pause here for a second. If I can get away with pausing. Let's see here. Oops, where's the... There it is. Well, I thought I had an empty road to be able to do it on, but I don't, so... There's that. Ah, well, life. Although now, they're behind another hill again. Can't win. You know, it's 8:30 at night on a back road. US 60 is a back road. A road that goes between places that nobody goes between. Anyway, there's a guy's coming up on me. He's going to pass me soon. which is beautiful. I'll let him pass me, and then I can relieve myself, I hope. I'm doing it pretty fast. Good. Okay. So, yeah, that's kind of, so, you know, and people go, oh, well, Nimro's accommodating. You go, no, I'm not. Says, I let me tell you, I am just as strident in my way as the people who say, hey, you know, until there is a transgendered apostle, we won't feel like we've really made headway with these Latter-day Saints. I'm just as much the other way to say, you know what, I don't think beyond the purely political, just trying to keep the church from being disenfranchised, I don't think pandering to these groups is very honest. You know, and you can say, well, no, it's true. We do love, God loves all of his children, and we have to love them too. And you're going, but that's not, they don't want your love. They want their demands met. They want you to absolutely capitulate to everything. There's like, oh, well, they decided that they're going to let people use their preferred names on the church record. I mean, it's not going to be their official name, but they can put down their preferred name and, you know, stuff like that. And you're going, that, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but I don't even think that's a beginning for these guys. I don't think that cuts it on any level whatsoever. And to make like it might, and to put that out there and say, okay, this is kind of a bone to those people. I said, it's just not what's going to happen anymore. I don't know if 50 years ago that would have been, oh, you guys are so wonderful. You're so accommodating of our needs here. Everything's great. And you go, I don't think that's it. I don't think that's going to smooth the roiling waters. Just don't think so. You know, but the brethren are going to do what they need to do to continue things rolling. I am not privy to their counsels at all. The Lord does not give me the inspiration that he gives to them. Therefore, I cannot say what's the right course. I have to trust that they are working to figure out what the right course should be. And so, you know, am I going to speak against it particularly? No. Do I have an opinion about it? Sure. Then, yeah, I think that these sorts of efforts will be considered pathetic. And and that until the church simply gives them every single thing they want, you know, that it's not going to happen. It's going to be like women in the priesthood. It's going to be like, you know, solemnizing gay marriages in temples. You know, it's just, I don't think anybody's confused about it. And if anybody says, wow, we're really making progress with those Latter-day Saints, that there will be former Latter-day Saints, there will be ex-Mormons, as they call themselves, who will say, oh no, that's nothing, that's garbage. Don't think for a minute that you have made any inroads there. Since their doctrine has not changed, they're not going to treat you any better. There is always going to be a certain amount of racism, and I cannot see that people just saying racism needs to end, that that's going to end it. You know? Or anything like it, you know? There's still going to be people who say, nope, I'm not going to join that church because of this, 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 and this. And no matter how hard you try to sugarcoat it and try to slap a new coat of paint on it to make it look better and say, look, look, we've changed. You know, there's going to be, it's not going to be adequate to what is desired. That's just, I think that just constitutes the basic reality of it all. Just not going to be there. Anyway, so and I don't want to, I've already harped on it quite enough, haven't I? Everybody says, oh, you're harping on it. You go, you know what? Shut up. I'm autistic. I've got these issues. I'm tired of people saying, well, you're ineffective because you're not able to overcome what the things that you've got. It's like, you know what? It says that's like everybody else. Oh, that was what the thing was about. Thank you. It finally came. Navel gazing. I think almost everything, that's a big deal these days socially has its roots in navel gazing. And navel gazing rising to the level of great. I was gonna pull over at this place to go to the bathroom and the gosh golly freaking truckers have taken over. I'm gonna let somebody go by and then I'm gonna freaking, are they pulled over too? Oh, bless it. Go! Quit slowing down. Okay. I'm actually gonna go to the bathroom now. Even though there's truckers right around me. I don't care. I'm gonna pee. Because I gotta pee. So I'll be right back. And hopefully I'll remember that we're talking about navel gazing.